Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming at you live from...
Jared's house. Well,
Who's Jared?
Jared is my cousin. He's not here. He's in upstate New York. We're actually inside of a pool. Right now, I'm ensconced in a pool of water.
Sure.
It's 6 p.m.-ish on a...
7:15.
Why do you have to correct me? 7:15. I mean, yeah, but I mean, in other parts, like in Chicago right now, it's an hour.
It's 6:15, right.
Right, so I was kind of right. And we decided to go swimming, but you didn't get off from work until 6, and so now the sun is not really with us.
Right, but it's the first time I've stood in a pool in 4 years.
Wow. Wait a minute.
Well, so we have a blow-up pool at home, even though it hasn't been put up this year.
Shut up, we're doing a podcast. That was the pool cleaning device.
Oh, right.
It makes noises.
Yeah. But, like, this is the first time I've been in a pool.
But wait, you were in the beach last year.
Well, that's not a pool.
Oh, yeah. But I'm in a body of water.
Body of water, right.
Really? No, but didn't we go swimming here 2 years ago or something?
Last time was 2019, right before COVID.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, for those of you who don't know, we are in a pool.
We're in a pool.
There's trees. You hear the water. I don't know if this is going to make the podcast better or worse.
I think it was a good idea.
Yeah, this is the first time that you've done a non-Danny's apartment podcast, except for Gaber's apartment.
Right.
So this is the first time we've been outdoors.
Right.
It's kind of like when you're with a woman and you have like sex outdoors, you know?
Been there.
Have you done it?
Yep.
Have you ever done it like on a field of grass?
Yes. In the rain, actually.
Wow.
Well, it started raining during it. It's not like it was raining beforehand.
Right. I've done it in a car. I've done it on a field of grass, but that didn't work out so well.
Mm-hmm. I've done it in a car, too.
I didn't like it on the grass. Mm-hmm. It felt stupid.
Right. You know?
And I was like, we have a bed. Like, why are we subjecting ourselves to ticks? And
I think it's like a adventurous, spontaneous thing, I guess.
I don't like that. Right. I really think beds are the best place for sex.
Right.
You know, I'm old-fashioned that way.
Right.
But I'm not having any sex right now, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
I am trying, though. I have two women talking to me on dating sites, but they're in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
It's a little far.
A little far.
One of them is very verbative. She texts a lot.
Okay.
It's a word I just came up with. Verbative.
You know what's a word I learned the meaning of before?
What?
Facetious.
Whoa. Say that again?
Facetious.
Oh, yeah. Wait, let me tell you what it is. It means... You're being sarcastic?
It's like approaching like a serious subject with like humor.
Oh.
And like perhaps like bad humor.
Oh, I do that a lot.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We should just rebrand our podcast as Facetious the fucking podcast.
Yeah. That's a hard word to say.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in a pool.
Like, whoever fucking came up with that word, like... They must have, like, had nothing else going on with their lives, like, that day. They probably weren't getting laid.
By the way, how does a word even become a part of the English language, you know? Like, is there a committee?
I have no idea.
Like, who decides, like, a spatula is a spatula?
I don't know, but all I know is that, like, shit's going on that, like, words exist that...
That shouldn't be words.
That don't have to be. It's like the other night when we were at the comedy club.
Yeah.
And you brought up saccharin.
Saccharin, yeah. Did you know what it meant?
Not before then, and I actually forgot what it meant.
Oh, let me enlighten you.
Sure.
Saccharin is a great word. I use it maybe 5 times a day.
Yeah?
It means that something is overly, you know, like an episode of... A saccharin is like when something... God damn it. It's like when something is too sugary, you know, like saccharin. It's like too schmoopy.
Schmoopy.
Yeah, like overly...
Overly schmoopy.
All right. Everybody's fucking talking about Barbie.
Right.
The movie,
right.
I fucking hated it.
Oh, yeah?
I hated it. I hated it so much. I hated it. I really hated it.
No shit.
Oh, my God. Okay, first of all, you didn't see it, right?
Right.
Okay, everybody likes that movie for some reason. I'm the minority.
I have a feeling it's also part... I have a feeling it's also part of marketing.
Well, people seem to like it.
I mean, they like it, but like, I feel like it's
one woman,
overly.
One woman in my job agrees with me, but she's married with kids, so I can't have sex with her.
Right.
But It's okay. Ryan Gosling, Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie, yeah.
Very talented performers.
Right.
It's not their fault. It's just that the movie, oh my God, dude, within the first 2 minutes, my testosterone, whatever I have, it's not that much because I have a few summers left. I have like 20% left of testosterone in my body, all went down.
Yeah, I heard that it was, from what I hear,
yeah,
it takes digs at both genders.
Dude. And I like the director. She did Lady Bird. She did good movies. They tried to do it like a message movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Barbie goes into the real world and what happens. And it's just like, oh, my God. It's talk about saccharine. Like, it was like a woke movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I, you know, like, it was like drilling the message over your head. And then there were... And then I really, you know what? I can't even describe how much I hated it. Like, yeah. I hated it more than a tetanus shot. I hated it more than, like, a blind date that goes bad. I really had a allergic reaction to it. And yeah. I stayed for the whole movie. I want you to see it. To see, you might like it. I might be the minority.
You got to see Oppenheimer now.
I would see it.
Because if you don't see Oppenheimer.
I would see it. I'm sure I'll like it. I'll probably think it's too long.
See, in my opinion, the pacing is actually fine for it.
A lot of people say that the last 40 minutes could have been cut.
I mean, like, I think the last 40 minutes it's there for a reason. I mean, maybe it could have been cut. I don't know. I mean,
3 hours is a long time.
I also like long movies, but
well, sure.
But I think like it reminded me like the. In terms of biopics, it reminded me of The Imitation Game.
Right.
You know, it takes place at the same war.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's about, like, a complicated guy. You know, and it was like...
Right.
But there definitely was something... one entire, like, aspect to the movie.
Yeah.
That they, like, eliminated completely from, like, all the marketing.
Right.
Which is, like, a heavy focus in the movie itself.
I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure it's not a fun movie to sit through.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, like, I didn't really laugh at any points.
Right. No, I'm sure. No, but, dude, anything compared to Barbie.
Yeah.
I mean, just the name Barbie now makes me want to vomit. Just Barbie.
I just think it's a shame that, you know, so I've seen most big movies so far this year in the cinema.
Right.
And, now, Grant, I do think, now, this is 2023. Compared to other decades, you know, this decade hasn't really been too great for movies.
No, that's an understatement, right?
But I would say Oppenheimer,
yeah,
is a front runner for the best movie of the decade so far.
For the decade?
Yeah.
All right, fine. That's good. I mean, but the competition is pretty nil.
It's pretty nil, and it's still pretty early in the decade.
Right. Well, that's you know what? Barbie is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
I mean, Barbie is probably going to win an Oscars now.
Actually, I think Oppenheimer is going to sweep them all next year.
I
can see Oppenheimer winning, like,
right,
acting, directing, best picture.
If Barbie wins any award, I'm leaving the country.
I mean, I can see, like, her getting, like, I can see Margot Robbie potentially winning. I can see maybe,
if
like,
she, I don't want anything about that movie to be successful, but it is already.
Oh, it is already.
I know, but it's everything that's wrong with America is wrong with this movie, I'm telling you, I can't even do it justice. I can't even tell you why. They tried too hard to be a message movie.
Oh yeah.
And it's campy. I liked Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is campy as fuck.
Mm.
But this is like a campy movie with trying to be a message. Oh my God. Yeah. And Ryan Gosling is actually funny. He's really funny in it.
Yeah.
But dude, I just cannot give it a thumbs up. I give it a thumbs way down in my grandma's butt.
Yeah.
That's what I give it. I'm sorry, Grandma.
I'm just pissed that, you know, like, a lot of, like, the bigger, like, I'll be honest, like, Indy 5, MI7, like, they totally got destroyed at the box office this year, and it's a fucking shame.
I don't know if destroyed. I think Indiana Jones made some money.
Well, I think the longer they hold out in cinemas, they'll make.
Yeah, and internationally, it's doing pretty well. Yeah. Like it's not a bomb. It's not like an Oppenheimer bomb. It's not an atomic bomb, right. You know.
Yeah.
And I don't know about Mission Impossible, but dude, okay. First of all, personally, you had a birthday last time. We told people you had a birthday,
right?
And then your birthday weekend was kind of crappy because your car.
Yeah,
died.
My car fucking broke down. You know, it's a bunch of bullshit.
So I decided. On Sunday, I had one of the worst days of my life. I had the comedy. So, okay. Okay, so we went to the comedy night
on Friday, right?
On Friday, and you had the experience of seeing Jay Silverberg, who we always talk about, and he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was a cute comedian that made fun of me and my porno watching,
right?
And then the second,
I actually like them both.
It was fun. It was fun. Listen, it's usually a good time, right? I get a kick out of them addressing me, and I get a real kick out of that. You know, it gives me some reason to.
You also draw them to you with your laugh.
Well, I feel my laugh. Okay, my laugh is kind of authentic, but also kind of fake.
Right.
Because I feel bad for them if nobody laughs. I really do. Like, I have a heart. You know.
Oh yeah.
So like, because I know when I'm acting and I deliver like a joke and nobody laughs, it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jay Silverberg says something remotely funny, I'm gonna be like, ha, 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 you know.
I should be like.
Yeah, well, you're the silent type.
Actually, no,
you do laugh.
I do laugh.
No, you laugh authentically. When something hits you funny, you laugh. Me, I do embellish it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so what happened the next day? The next day, you decided you didn't want to go the second night.
Yeah. Which and is actually, fine. It was interesting because I kind of, like, as the day went on, even though I couldn't drive, I kind of regretted that because, like, man, I was like, stuck at home. And
I know, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, I would have picked you up, but you live it all the way in some
bubble fuck.
You really do, you know? So, I don't know what I did during the day. Did I do something important during that day, Saturday?
Probably not.
I think I did.
Oh, shit.
No, I think I did a podcast with this.
Oh, sorry, the Irish guy.
Yeah. Which actually was a big 38 listeners to that.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, he was cool. He was in a pretty big band in the
80s.
Damn. So, and he was fun. I'm getting a lot of, like, people tell me that was really, really good. And I didn't have, it was effortless because he talked a lot. It was fun. So then, and then that was right before, because he could only do it like an hour or two before the comedy show. So I wasn't sure if I was going to. Anyway, I went the second night. It was, you know, it was okay. But then the worst day was Sunday. Sunday is like a beautiful day, a beach day.
Mm.
Danny says to himself, let's go to the beach.
Oh, no shit.
I went to the beach.
Oh, shit.
It was the worst day of my life.
Oh, shit.
I went fucking, okay, like noon, and I knew it was going to be crowded. It's the weekend. Dude, I could not find a parking spot.
Where'd you go?
I went to Point Pleasant, Asbury Park, Ocean Grove, every fucking Bradley Beach. I went to places that were even private, and the lifeguard said you can't be here because it's like a season's pass.
Oh, shit, okay.
So then I went to Asbury Park. Even like within 20 minutes of a walk to the beach, I couldn't find a parking spot.
Damn.
It was so bad. So I circled around for 3 hours. I was like, I'm going to go into the water. And I circled for 3 hours. Like, I wasted a full tank of gas. And then I finally gave up. I drove here. I went to the pool. I could have died. It was the worst day of my life.
Was that the day you were talking about, the lead up to the podcast you said was horrible?
No.
Oh,
that was, I've been having a streak of bad days.
Holy shit!
No, so that was Sunday. Was and then I saw Barbie, on the same day,
right.
Which I fucking hated. Did I tell you I hated? I hated it. So I went to the fucking beach, circled around for 3 hours, wasted like a lot of miles on my poor car. You know, I would have rented a car. You know, and then I come back here. I go to the pool. And then I'm like, all right, fine. Now I can see a movie. And then Barbie was the worst movie I've ever seen. And then I was like, why is this day the worst day of my life?
I kind
of
don't want to see it now.
No, I think you should because I want to see if you have such a visceral reaction.
Right.
I'll pay for you to see it.
I mean, maybe I'll see it on Saturday.
I'll pay for you to see it.
Yeah, that's all right.
Whatever. I don't know why.
Don't give him any more of your money. Mine's at least through A-List, so I'm actually technically not sure how that money gets divided up. So
do you know how sometimes you just hate something you don't even know why? That's how I feel about Barbie. Like I mean I know rationally I hate movies that try to be woke and try to be like a message. So I know that, but there's also something beyond that that I could not stand. Like I just can't even, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's Sunday.
That's Sunday.
Well, the worst fucking days. I'm never going to the beach on the weekend again.
Well, yeah,
and
I think it's one of the reasons why, like, I haven't gone like too many times because, like, my only time off is the weekend.
Yeah,
and that's like the worst time. Like when you and I went last year,
it was
we went during the week.
I know.
Awesome.
I was smarter then. Now I'm dumber now.
I
really did. So, okay, so then yesterday, I have this podcast set up with this woman who's an author.
Yesterday or Monday.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Monday, I think, was actually an event-free day.
Oh, okay.
I think nothing tragically happened on Monday.
Well, that's good.
But, you know, I had this thing set up. Okay, so I tell my fucking people at work that I have to leave work at 1. The podcast is at 3. I want to give myself like an hour and a half to, you know. First of all, I had notes, you know, because this woman was booked 3 months ago because she's really busy.
Right.
Okay. So I had a whole sheet of notes. I lost it. And I spent like, I had spent like 5 hours looking for all these notes. So then I had to recreate them again. So then I go to work and then I go in the morning and I see in the schedule that I'm not done at 1 o'clock the way I'm supposed to. I'm done like at 2 o'clock. And I'm like, then I freak out. So I have a big, I call, I say, I gotta leave at one. Anyway, we compromised. I get to the office at 1:45. So now I have an hour and 25 minutes. Okay, so that's not great, but it's okay. So now I'm driving home to my apartment. They are paving my fucking...
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see when you go to my apartment later.
Yeah.
The ground is like... And there was so much noise, there was no way I could do a podcast.
Holy shit.
So, and it started to rain like a fucking thunderstorm. It was like... It was biblical.
Power without work.
Dude, I know. It was biblical. So now it's 2:15. The podcast is at 3. I cannot even... Like, there's police cars, like, everywhere with the gravel situation.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even, like, get out. Like I kind of, like, you know, I have a circle thing.
Right.
I couldn't, I was trapped. I couldn't, like, there were, like, big bulldozers and police cars.
Shit.
So, it's like, I was like, I'm like, Danny, collect yourself. This is like a bad movie.
And
then it's, like, thunderstorming. And you know how I hate thunderstorms. And then, you know, the clock, it's like a movie. The clock is ticking.
Oh, yeah.
Like 12, 2:15, 2:16, 2:17. And I'm like really nervous about this podcast to begin with because this woman is like a big deal for me anyway. She's like a best-selling author, you know, New York Times, you know. Anyway, so now I'm like, okay, Danny, collect yourself. Be cool. So if somehow I manage to park somewhere. I run to my apartment in the rain, like, you know. I'm like, okay, I gotta go to Jared's house. That's the only way because I can't do it here. There's like noise everywhere. So I collect my phone charger. I collect my notes. I'm all frazzled. You know, it's like insane. Now it's like 2:30, 2:31. I go back into the car. Now I can't get out because there's the police everywhere. And I'm stuck in the middle of the circle. And I'm like, I'm screaming, like, oh my god. Somehow I do maneuver somehow between two, like I almost tore my car. It was like a Mission Impossible movie.
Oh shit.
Like I my car was in between these two bulldozers. The Mexican people are yelling at me, "You're not supposed to be here." I'm like, "I live here." Anyway, so now I finally made it. Now it's like 2:40, you know? So now, and Jared has an alarm in his house, you know, which I'm not really used to. So I have all my notes, I have everything. I get here, it's like 2:45. I get here, and now I have to deal with opening the garage door in the rain, and then the alarm has a code, and then, you know, I'm looking at my phone for the alarm code. Now, finally, I get it. It's 2:50, you know, and it's like a Zoom call. Like, it starts at 3.
Oh, yeah.
And she told me she can only give me, like, 45 minutes, and that was it. So, finally, I mean, it was insane. Like, I couldn't believe how many obstacles I had. Finally, at 2:59, I get the Zoom, And it was okay. I made it.
It was one of those things where you're like, hey, how's it going?
I told her. So she was cool. She said, so first, you know, it's like weird, you know, with the Zoom. So, you know, she's like, okay. We say hello. I know her because I've done classes with her, but I never really had a one-on-one conversation. So we say, hey. And she goes, okay, I'm going to turn the camera off because she thinks the audio is going to be better if her camera's off.
Right.
So then, and I'm still like, I told her, oh my God, it took me so long to get here. You know, I had to get the alarm, and my uncle was like, I couldn't get into my apartment, but I'm good. That's how it started. So then everything's cool. I pressed record, and the record button, I didn't hit it the right way. So we started for about 5 minutes. She's talking about herself, and I'm like, oh no, it's not recording. So then, but she was cool. She was cool. She was like, she was just started again. But it was like, and then, you know, the thing is, it was good. I got already compliments on it, but I felt very off-center. Because first of all, seriously, the topic was about depression, which, you know, is a big deal for me because I've had a lot of depression. And so as we're talking about it, I was getting more and more kind of frazzled because I wanted to ask the right questions. And she was really good, but she was, you know, she was giving me kind of long answers, which was good. But it was a little bit less of a conversation and more like question, long answer.
Right.
And it wasn't really a flow that I like. Like with musicians, it's back and forth, back and forth. Mm-hmm. So that, and I also felt I started to stammer and like to kind of, my thoughts weren't like, I think I hit enough good things, but I sounded a little stammery, you know? Mm. And she was like giving me like very coherent, well, you know. So anyway, it wasn't as good as I thought, but she said she really enjoyed it. She said we could do a part two someday.
That'd be cool.
So it was good, but I just couldn't believe how many fucking, I mean, I'm not embellishing anything.
That's fucked up.
The gravel, I mean, you'll see my apartment. It's like, it's still not paved completely.
Right.
I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't, anyway. It was, but I mean, you have to laugh about these things, you know? Because it's like, I mean, it was like a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And then you hear, you see the clock, like, ticking down. Oh, my God. Anyway, today's, like, effortless. Like, sunshiny. I don't have a podcast today, so, of course, everything's great. Well, oh, well, yeah, we are. This is a podcast, I forget.
Yeah.
You know? I think this was, like, number 76 or 77.
Something up there, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Doing this for really long time. This is like one of the longest like commitments I've ever had in my life.
Oh my God, you're so funny. Talk about commitment. You and your dinner date. I mean, we're not going to mention his name, but you have a friend.
Oh yeah.
Ryan has a friend who is like a friend.
I've known him for I think over almost probably like a decade now.
Yeah, and you like him. You have nice conversations, but you know Ryan, you know, gets freaked out about little things.
So I'm one of those people. in case you haven't
noticed,
gotten this from me already,
right?
Our nice loyal audience.
Hey, we have a new member in Luxembourg.
Yes, we do have listener. We did get a listen in Luxembourg.
Yeah, what's a guy's typical guy's name? Like Shlomo? No, that's Jewish. Like I don't know what a typical guy Luxembourg.
I don't know.
Maybe it's the whole country, you know. But anyway, we digress. Okay,
so yeah, like me, I'm one of those people that I enjoy spending time with people when I'm actually in the presence of those people. Like, aside from, like, Danny, like, when it comes to, like, planning to, like, meet, even just have dinner with people, sometimes to me, it becomes a chore.
Right.
Granted, when I'm there and we sit down, we're talking, then right. I'm good. But it's just, like, it's interesting. It's one of those things where it's, like,
right.
It's one of those things where it's, like, I guess having been single all these years.
Right.
And having different experiences where I was pretty much like isolated, you
right.
know, it's led to me really just enjoying and appreciating my own company more than being around other people.
Well, this, I know. So
it's like healthy, but unhealthy at the same time.
Yeah. But we're just talking like, how far is the drive to the restaurant?
So this would be a good, like, half an hour.
Wow. Okay. Half an hour.
But it's a good restaurant. So.
Oh, that's good. And then the actual conversation would probably be like, what, 2 hours, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hear you. Listen, most of my life I do things that I don't really want to do, you know?
Yeah.
I'd say, actually, you know, today I did a class with the same person I did the podcast with.
Oh, okay.
Her name is Amy Scher. And she brought up an interesting point today, like about, like, she was, you know, she has all these techniques to, like, you know, think about things and work with the body and the mind connection, you know. It's there's a lot of people that don't believe in that shit. I actually do believe in that shit. But anyway, but the point is, she was thinking about, she was bringing up.
What was it, mind-body?
Yeah, she has systems where there's a thing called EFT, where you actually tap on certain points in the body while you're saying things to yourself.
Okay.
And you can even say something. A lot of it is even saying negative stuff to yourself to get it out of your system.
Okay.
So it's actually very interesting. It's and you know, there's a lot of articles and a lot of, it's a movement called energy therapy, which I've done a lot. It didn't really save me during my darkest times, but I'd say if you're suffering, not suffering, but if you're having some issues, but you're not like horribly depressed, but you're medium, this stuff can really help.
Okay.
Shift your energy around, focus you. I use it all the time. So if you're interested, I'd be very happy to talk to you about it. But not right now, because we're doing as is.
And, right.
You know, our audience isn't that smart. So, hi, British Mark. Hey, British Mark, do you have pools in England? I don't think they have pools in England.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I mean, like, they have nice houses, nice backyards, you know?
But do you think they call a pool in England? I think because they always have like no names for bathrooms, like the loo, the subway is a tube.
So maybe they have like the round water body or something like that.
Yeah. The round water body where you drink tea around, you know. A spigot of water, perhaps. But anyway, yeah. So sorry, British Mark. You know, we always have to address him.
We have to address British Mark.
I'm going to see him soon in person.
Oh, that's right. When's that?
It's late August.
Oh, okay.
So late August, and I'm not going to have a lot of time. I couldn't shift my flight. I'm not going to see him. He's just going to be there.
Are you going to be there on the weekend?
No. Well, the show is Friday night. I'm flying Thursday, show Friday, leaving Saturday.
Oh, okay.
But last time we had next door hotels together.
Yeah.
Rooms. So I'm hoping to have at least an hour or two with...
5 minutes.
I'm not going to see him specifically, but he will be... It would be rude if I didn't say hello.
Like, if you happen to see each other and pass in the hall and be like... Hey, Bruce.
Hey, well, hey, chap. hey, what's up there, chap? No, I mean, it would be rude if I didn't say anything. He's like our biggest fan.
The problem is, like, I could probably see British Mark. I could like bump into him in the street.
Mm-hmm.
But since I've never actually met him in person, I've seen pictures of him.
Yeah.
But since I haven't met him in person,
he's very unassuming.
I wouldn't know it was him.
He looks like a, I don't know. I mean, you've seen pictures. He looks. You know, he's a good looking chap.
I'll admit that as a comfortable straight man.
Yeah. He's you know, he's got hair and everything, and you know, right. Good body weight, I would say.
Right.
He's not as lumpy as I am right now, but he's also, you know, he's British Mark, so he's got his limitations. You know, like God doesn't give you everything.
Nah.
You know, he gives you, you know, British Mark.
Limitations. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
It gives you like a British Mark personality, but with, you know, like, but a good life. He's got a good life. He's got a nice wife in the country. But do you actually want to be British Mark? Not so much. You know, like he likes our show. That really makes him. Something's wrong with him. I mean, like, we're pretty good, but there's a lot of podcasts in the world. He's choosing us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I do listen to our show sometimes, and it is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so where were we? So, before British Mark got in the mix, we were talking about...
You were in a Zoom with Amy?
Oh, yeah. So, you're right, today, and she brought up this idea that what to work on, issues to work on, and... See, now I'm in the pool and I'm drinking beer. I kind of forgot. But it was something like, it was something like, what would, fuck, this is what notes are for, man. I have
notes right there.
I know, but this is, I wrote the notes before today. Oh, did I?
Oh, no, it's just 20%. Okay. That's fine.
Where are we?
27 minutes.
Oh, my God.
We'll be fine.
Okay. So, yeah.
If the episode cuts out, that means the battery died. But you know what? If you've listened to us by this point,
right, that means that you're dead.
You're fine.
Speaking of dead people, Sinead O'Connor died.
Yeah, she did. That was...
I know. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
I actually have a thing with Sinead O'Connor because she reminds me... You know, her first album came out in 80... I would say 86, 87, so
her
88.
Her big one, like, I don't...
The big one was with the Prince cover. That song... it's been 16 years.
I don't want what I don't have something like that.
No, yeah. Nothing Compares to You was the Prince song.
Oh, okay.
That she covered, and it was a huge hit. But yeah, that's her biggest record. It's a great record. Actually, that song is not the best song on the record. She has like her own original material on the album is great. Mm-hmm. But you know, she was a lot of things. I mean, she was always in trouble with the media. She was on Saturday Night Live once.
She got banned, I was reading earlier.
Yeah, she tore the picture of the Pope to make a statement. Mm-hmm. I forget what the statement was, but...
I think it was that, like, I guess he protects, like, child predators or something
like
that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she had... she was against the church for... I mean, you know, because they fuck little children.
Yeah.
Some of them. Not all of them. You never hear that about rabbis, by the way. The Jews usually don't have like sex with.
Is there like a vow of celibacy among like the Jews?
No.
I think that's part of it. I think the vow of celibacy is like
makes you crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, rabbis can fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, they fuck, you know, Jewish women usually. Like they probably wouldn't fuck a shiksa, which is, you know, not a Jewish woman. And rabbis usually get like, you know, like you know, not the best looking women. I mean, they wouldn't get a Barbie. They would get like a, you know, like a, like Barbie's cousin.
Right.
You know, Matilda.
Ingrid.
Ingrid, yeah. But, yeah, man, Sinead O'Connor was, it's tough, because she's also, she didn't really make a lot of great music. I mean, she has had albums in recent years, but nobody really heard them. But it reminds me of a time that was very, like, I was hanging out with this girl, Sabrina. Oops. No, I could say the first name, Sabrina.
She's not listening.
She's not listening, yeah. That would be amazing if she did. So I was, Sabrina was really, really beautiful.
Oh, yeah?
And she was, I went to this school that was very, for challenged kids. I don't know how, why I was there.
They're challenged?
You could put it that way. No, my fucking Aunt Ginny, she didn't know where to put me. So she,
I
went to a regular school, and then I had problems. And then she said, okay, you're going to a, you know, mental hospital. And then she put me in this place, which, you know, was for kids that weren't good enough to be, that were too bad for a regular high school, but not too bad for a hospital. So it was, so I didn't learn.
Here's the thing. So were you really that bad?
Well, yes. Like,
did you kill people back then, or?
No. You see, you could have mental problems and not kill people, you know? I was bad. I'll tell you this. Right? 1986.
Master of Puppets came out. I was also born that year, but okay.
Sure. 2 years after Born in the USA. No, I was fucked up. I was fucked up. Like, you know, I was telling Amy yesterday, because we were talking about depression and stuff. I was like a radio station that wasn't completely tuned in to the right signal. Mm. So there were moments that I felt very in control and like authentic, like this is me, and then moments where I didn't know who the fuck I was. That's because the radio station would go in and out. Mm. So that's, you know, it's a deep comment. You'll have to think about that later. But anyway, or not at all. You don't have to think about that.
I'm trying to think, like, okay, would you just get like angry at times?
No, it wasn't an anger issue. It was a depression issue. So okay. I would get very. I would just feel this wave of heaviness. I would feel anxiety. It was never anger. I never, like, you know. But I would, you know, I was...
You sure you didn't just experience, like, normal, like, teenage
shit? No, it was more than that. Because, okay, so 86, you're listening to fucking Metallica, whatever, Master of Puppets.
I'm coming out of the wound with the Metallica blasting in my ears, yes.
Right. So, you know, the thing is, like, I thought that once I got away from my father, I would come to America, like Eddie Murphy coming to America, and everything would be great. And it wasn't. You know, I was here. I moved with Bobby and Ginny. Ginny, you know, is a tough woman to live with because she's, you know, it's just, it's, I mean, it was a much better standard of life. I had pools. Mm-hmm. I had, right now we're, you know, and her family's pool. But, you know, so things haven't changed much. But I felt very out of sorts. I didn't talk to people my own age. You know, I didn't know. I stayed in bed all the time. I was very antisocial. I was definitely depressed, you know, like, yeah, in a way that was not just typical, you know. So, and then in 1986, November, I believe, I was supposed to give a speech in English class, which is kind of funny because now I give speeches all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I volunteered to give eulogies to dead people. That's redundant. Eulogies involve dead people. Yeah. But, I had to give a speech, like a 1 minute speech in English class, and that drove me over the edge. I said, no, not doing it. And I was living in Ginny's in the basement at Ginny's, like, a few houses ago. And I said to myself, self, I am not going to give the speech. And I lived living in the basement. I had a picture of Rambo. And then I was dating.
Rambo was played by Sylvester Stallone in a very popular
First Blood
film series.
Right. I think Mark Ross knows.
Oh, okay. I was talking about our people in, like, Luxembourg,
and
Bangladesh,
yeah.
Who may not.
I think they know Rambo in Luxembourg.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so I had a picture. And I was dating a girl at the time who liked Madonna. So she put a picture of Madonna next to Rambo, and I hated that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I liked having sex with her, you know. So so I decided I'm not giving this speech. And I was really into First Blood, you know, where he's in the jungle and he's hiding from the, so I decided I'm gonna do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I barricaded the basement, the door, with furniture. I put all the furniture against the door so Ginny couldn't open it, And I said, I'm just going to live in the basement. That was my plan.
Okay.
I had a sink there that I could just piss in. I didn't have to even use the bathroom upstairs.
Right.
I had it made, you know? Yeah. I mean, I didn't think about food, but... So then Ginny comes in the morning. She opens the door. She can't open the door because it's, you know... So now she's screaming at me, you got to get to school. And I'm like, no, I'm not going. And that was it. Finally, she finally opened the door somehow. She said, go take a shower. So I went into the shower and I wouldn't take my clothes off. I went to the shower with my clothes on because I was brilliant, you know, because I was like, I'm going to defy you. I'll take a shower, but I'm not taking my clothes off.
Mm-hmm.
So then she goes, okay, you're out of here. You're going to a mental hospital. So that was, three months in a mental hospital. Damn. All because I wouldn't shower without my clothes on. It's a bad reason. But it was kind of sexy. It was kind of erotic, you know, because I met some really hot chicks at the hospital.
And, oh, yeah.
And then I come back, and then I went to this crazy school, you know, where I think that's where I said crazy. So when you're saying I wasn't mental, like I was going to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I was definitely, like, not functioning well.
Well, it's interesting how, like, I guess, like, it's interesting how, like, different people handle that stuff. You know,
Yeah.
Like, it's...
I didn't have friends, really.
Yeah.
But it's
understandable. Like, I think it's just one of those things where, like, you expected to be better once you came over here.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes the brain doesn't work that way.
Well, for sure. I mean, and also because I was already depressed in Israel, so it wasn't like I was carrying it inside of me. The circumstances weren't really...
Yeah.
So it was rough. It was really... I mean, I wouldn't... It sucks, too, because I was good-looking then, you know? Like, I could have dated a lot. I could have had a lot more fun, you know? I had cool hair. I had Don Johnson hair back then, you know? But, oh, and then in mental hospital, that's when I watched Miami Vice for the first time.
That's right.
Oh, it was a pivotal moment. So, but the reason we got onto this trajectory is because of, so then I meet, you know, Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, and I'm working, I think my first real job was at Crazy Eddie's, which was a record store, right? And Bob and Ginny put me in this crazy house with crazy people.
Oh, yeah.
And I worked at Crazy Eddie's. And Sabrina was always in my school, really, really beautiful. And we never, you know, I never even thought of her as dating because she was always had a boyfriend, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then actually I got to know one of her boyfriends pretty well. We would always hang out. And then somehow me and her kind of hooked up and I felt really kind of guilty because I knew her boyfriend. And one day her boyfriend came to me and I was at the record store. I was assistant manager. Like I was, you know,
oh shit.
It was a crappy record store, man. It had like five records, you know? And it was there was like a room, like I was all alone, you know? And then there were other departments with vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
So, and I would just smoke cigarettes in the room and listen to, and I would open up records and just listen to them. And once in a, I would get like two sales a day, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, so one day her boyfriend comes to me and he goes, hey man, I think my girlfriend's cheating on me.
Oh shit.
And he looked at me straight in the eye and I thought he was going to beat me up. I thought, but he didn't know.
Yeah.
Like I felt, it was crazy. It was crazy. Like I was living in this house with this schizophrenic guy and then she would come over and she was, you know, she was like an ex-alcoholic and then she started drinking when she was with me and I felt guilty. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
But then Sinead O'Connor, that was the time. So when I think of Sinead O'Connor, I think of this, and sex with Sabrina was really good, man. You know how sometimes when you're having sex
with a woman. It's been a while, but you know, I can recall.
I took her to Ginny's house, to the pool one day, with Lifeless Dave, I think he was there, my brother. And there was something about her. She was like, picture her, like a brunette, you know, she's like 21 years old, you know. Such a creamy skin, you know, and when you were, you know, and I don't want to say entering, but when you were in
the penetrating,
mm-hmm,
yeah,
it was like, it's like you know how some women it's always good, right?
Right,
it's always good, but then sometimes it's like entering paradise, you know. That's the way she was. It was amazing. It was so good. We went to the hot tub, you know, and then we went to Ginny, like in Ginny's house, and she thought it was my house. You know, I told her it was my house. You know, it was just, oh my God, it was amazing. It was really, you know, I'm never gonna have sex like that. Like right now, the only kind of sex that I could possibly have is just like lethargic, you know, like 2 a.m. sloppy. It's not gonna be like opening up the gates of paradise.
Right.
I don't think. I mean, I hope, you know. But anyway, I'm not saying anything negative, but then we ended up in bad terms.
Oh, yeah.
I did something stupid.
What'd you do?
Well, her mom lived in Trenton, and I remember...
Nice area, right?
Not so nice, actually.
I know.
No, actually, I'm very embarrassed about the story. I went to her to visit her, and I stole something. I stole something from her mom. Like, I don't know... It was a blank tape. It was a tape. It was tapes, like cassettes. Cassettes were things that you recorded music on. Do you remember?
Was it audio cassette or video cassette?
No, it was audio cassettes. Okay. And I would make, you know, I would go home and make mixes.
Yeah.
Like on a cassette. Like now I still do it on a disc, which nobody else does in the world anymore, but I do.
Oh, you actually still do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I do. Like my car actually has a disc player.
Right,
and
right.
I make mixes because I don't know.
I mean, I know they still make CDs, but I just didn't know people still made CD mixes.
Yeah, even the cars that I drive for work have a CD player in them.
Oh yeah,
I think I like it because it gives me a sense of control. Like I can make, even though I can't write the song, I can put the songs together. It makes me feel like a DJ.
Well, it's like when I created my own mix of Sgt. Pepper's Mystery. Magical Mystery Tour.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the fuck it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, right. You did.
I combined all the 1967 recordings into one album.
Right, 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 right.
It was
right,
pretty
right.
good.
Right, right, right. But what we started with Sgt. Pepper, though, right?
Well, so obviously some of the songs led into each other.
Really?
So it was like, it wound up being like 28 songs long.
But did you do all of Sgt. Pepper and then Magical Mystery Tour?
No, I mixed them up. Between that, Magical Mystery Tour, the singles, and some of the stuff that they recorded at the time, but they released later.
But you can't, like, mess up. You have to go from Sgt. Pepper's into Little Help for My Friends, right?
Oh, absolutely, because on the album, they segue into each other.
Right, so you can't separate those.
So that's how the album started.
Right.
And then the album ended, it wound up being a double album, of course.
Right.
Like, the double album ended with Good Morning. Well, actually ended with Lovely Rita, Good Morning, The Reprise, and Day in the Life.
Right. Yeah. So you did the. So you mixed it up in the body of the record.
In the body of it, yeah.
Right, right, right. So you'd go like from.
Side one of four ended, I think, with Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
You ended it with that?
Yeah.
Because on the album, it's the third song.
Well, actually, it's not on any of the albums.
But on Sgt. Pepper, it's the third song.
Okay. Strawberry Fields.
Oh, right, right, right. Strawberry Fields could go anywhere, yeah. Because right. it was a 45. It was
right. I put that as the last track on side one.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that.
Another thing I did do is like, whereas Within You, Without You began side two of Sgt. Pepper,
right.
I kept that as the beginning of side three. So like, if it was a double vinyl, it was the first track on the second vinyl.
Right, okay.
So I kept that.
Yeah. See, that's one song that I don't like. I'm not gonna listen to that song a lot.
That's like the outlier in that album.
Yeah, because I mean it's cool, but not all the time, you know.
If they shaved like 2 minutes off, it'd be different.
Yeah, George Harrison could keep that sitar just like. Anyway, yeah.
So you stole the audio cassette.
Okay. Oh, so I'm there, and I see. I think, you know. So getting cassette tapes was a big deal for me. And I had, I mean, I wasn't, I don't know why I did this, but I saw, like, her mom had a lot of blank tapes. And I took it. I don't know. And Sabrina saw it.
Oh.
And it was a huge blowout. I think she threw something at my head, like a hammer. It was a bad scene. And I apologize for that, you know. But it's one of those things I'm not proud of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I shoplifted, you know. That was a period of time where I liked to steal stuff. I was.
Oh yeah, I remember you.
I stole stuff from the college bookstore and got caught. I was a kind of a bad seed, you know. But I stole like cassette tapes. Like that's a loser thing to steal, you know. like it's I can't even be proud of that, you know. Like if I went to jail, the guy would be like, "Hey man, what are you in for?" I'd be like, "Simon Garfunkel tape." it would be really embarrassing. I'm sitting next to
the guy's got a fucking tattoo on his entire face.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I killed my mother and I burned my father. What did you do? I Starman and Garfunkel cassette tape, you know. I was trying to pay off traffic tickets, you know. Yeah, man. So, but dude, Sinead O'Connor, man. Before that album that you talked about, I still don't have what I haven't got. Mm-hmm. So she had her debut record, which is, I think it's called The Lion and the Cobra. It's very intense, very intense. She had a few hits from that, but I remember seeing her on like David Letterman, and she had a shaved head. And I think she shaved her head because she was so pretty, but she didn't want to like play the game of being beautiful. Mm-hmm. So she shaved her head to make a statement, like you don't need to be pretty to be successful. Like it's pretty deep, you know. Mm-hmm. But I know she was fucked up. Like she had like a crazy childhood. I think she was sexually molested. I mean, a lot of stuff there, you know. But that first album is pretty, and one of the songs was Miami Vice, which is a great show at the time. Yeah, the first record was really deep. There were a few really crazy, and when she got angry, she would belt. There's some scary stuff on the first record, and some hits, you know. And then that second record that you mentioned is really, it's really mellow. It's like a very, it's almost like someone a lot older would have written.
Oh, okay.
She was like 22, I think. Damn. And it's a lot of like breakup songs, but it's almost spiritual, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, she had all that problems and then she disappeared for a while. And then she made the news a few years ago because she did a crazy mental health. Do you remember this? She did this mental health rant on Facebook.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so this is about maybe 5 years ago. She was in a hotel room somewhere, and she just, I don't know, she went a little crazy, and she was crying and, like, just talking, and she taped it.
Oh, wow.
Like, and she broadcasted it. And I don't know. It made the rounds, you know? Like, and everybody felt bad for her. And then she made a little bit of a comeback. She talked about it kind of coherently on talk shows and stuff. So I don't know how she died. They're not telling. Like
I guess we'll find. We'll probably find out like over the next few days or so.
Two options, right? It's either suicide or overdose.
Mm.
I mean, that's all I can think about, right? I mean, what else could it be? Like, or murder? Not murder. Like nobody's gonna, you know. Mm. And now she's like, you know. And I she was touring like a year ago. I saw her name in Philadelphia. Like she was gonna tour.
Oh yeah.
So it's tough, man. Yeah, that's a tough one. I think it's because I was having a lot of sex at the time. You know, like it reminds me of a good time, you know? like the fact that she's dead, that means that my sex life is dead.
Right, right.
So it's funny how two things can mean something, you know?
Yeah, stir up different thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
I think we're going to cut this one short because the battery's just about.
Oh, really? Okay.
Out.
All right. So we haven't learned anything. Oh well. Do you think this was better being in the pool or?
I thought it was kind of cool.
You know, all right, we're still, we haven't moved, we haven't swam, we're just standing.
No, we're standing
in a pool of water, like 2 70-year-olds talking into the air about, oh, when I was young, sex was great.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but okay, it's going to die? Okay, yeah. So, all right, well, keep chasing the sun.
And, bye.
Hey!